Lemon Pepper Parlay is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older. That's right. It's another edition of the Lemon Pepper Parlay Podcast. I'm Martin Weiss, joined here with my co-host Will Blackman. Still in America, headed to London next week.
Listen, don't be giving my whereabouts.
You know what? See, this is why Sal said we're not friends. Because I tried to just, you know, I was over here making conversation. I was over here as one of those, like, you know, what did you do yesterday? He's like, why are you in my business? It's like, bro, I was just, you know, you could have told me nothing. You could have told me it was cool. I had a great day. You could have told me I went to the grocery store. I'm just asking you to begin the conversation to get the ball rolling. It's like with a 2-minute drill, they want the clock running. That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to get the clock running. That's all. But this is why. This is the tension that people feel right there.
I need you to be a little more festive for our shows. Either, you know, maybe a jersey, maybe like a graphic T-shirt, maybe a polo shirt. You know, I think I need a little more.
What's wrong with this shirt? What is wrong with, you know, Chad Uncle? I'll have you. Chad Ochocinco, you know, has tweeted several times about the viability of the $12 polo shirt. Like, I don't see what the issue is. It comes in a pack of three. I'm sorry, Mr. YouTube TV. You got your soccer kit going on. You got like
eight Carlos Vela. Footballs.
I mean, I don't have the cool background like you. I just have a couple pair of shoes.
What do you mean? It's a couple books. Pair of shoes, but what are the value of those shoes? The Conquerors. That's all I need to see. That's all I need to see. Phone posits. Dude, you come on now. I don't want to hear nothing. They were gifts. That's fine. That's right. They were gifts, but
a lot of them were. But you know what I do find fascinating or kind of awesome is when guys will wear the Concord cleats. Like, I think those are some of the, like, either the Concords or the ones, the cleats that, have the Jordan cleats. I think that's dope.
I missed it by like one more year. I would have worn them. Actually, I couldn't. I had an Adidas deal, so that didn't work. Only reason why I signed with Adidas, like, the cleats were okay, but I signed with them because I got Yeezys. So that's the only reason why.
I was about to say, you would have had to get Yeezy cleats.
I got Yeezys to wear in the streets. That's the only reason why I signed with Adidas.
Fair enough. Well,
by the way,
Prescott, what's that?
No, but before we get to that, I need you to explain something to me. No, obviously, I'm new to this whole Sal fiasco, right? Extra points.
Yeah.
Explain the picks to me, okay? Because obviously I hit rock bottom in our picks, and we're probably going to get to that, but I'm going to get to it right now. Explain, what are we picking?
It was not a very good showing for you in your first.
No, but what? But explain it to me. Are we picking who's going to win or who's going to cover? Like, what? How is that? What is that?
You're picking who's going to cover. That's what the little number next to the team name, that's what that means. So if you, like, for example, you picked, well, you know what, Will? No, you're picking the teams to cover, but I have now just simply been reminded, I reminded myself, I suppose, but Sal told me to tell you this yesterday. How do you make the Lions your upset pick of the week and then pick the Vikings to cover 6 in your picks?
I can't pick Detroit to win and pick Minnesota to cover? I can't do that?
No. If the Lions are underdogs, right, and you pick them to win, then Vikings can't cover. It doesn't work out that way.
That's right, because they're the favorites.
Exactly.
See, I'm still figuring this thing out, man.
That's okay. You got the football part. I got the gambling part. But yes, generally, when it comes to, because I did not have.
But if Minnesota was the underdog, then I could have did that.
Yes, then you could have picked.
That's how you know.
And Minnesota would have won, but did not cover.
See, clearly, when you read the gambling problem number, you don't have to read it to me because I have no idea what's going on.
All right, I'll break it down for you and explain it to you like you're 5. And you know what though?
No, I figured it out now.
Well, you know what though? That's not the most unique problem to have. A lot of people don't know what it means. A lot of people who are heavily involved and really smart, intelligent people can't figure out what the plus and the minus and you know.
No, I do. Means. I just, you know what? I was just so excited about Detroit. Like, I was riding that train and I was like, yeah, Minnesota might keep it close, but I forgot Detroit was the underdog. So that is.
Yeah.
They're not this week, though. They're not this week, though.
They are not this week. They are favored. I want to say I'm pretty sure this is the first time, like, because the line moved earlier in week two to where the Lions were favored. But I want to say this is the first time the Lions have been favored, like, from the outset of a line dropping. The first time the Lions have been favored since at least 2008, 2009. It's that type of deal. It was like the last time the Lions opened as a favorite, the Giants were 3-0. And the Giants are now 2-1 because they let Cooper Rush and the Dallas Cowboys come and beat them in MetLife Stadium on Monday night.
Huh.
Jerry says he would walk from Dallas to New York, right? If there was a quarterback controversy, because that means that Cooper Rush would have been playing so well. I don't personally believe that there's a quarterback controversy in Dallas, but are there going to be enough people to talk themselves into Cooper Rush? Because I know two of them. Their name's Sal, and the other one's name is Dave, and they work at Extra Points.
I mean, it's everything is going well, you know? Everything is going well right now. He is legit running the offense, and they're putting up W's. I mean, that's – especially when, like, you have your guy, but there's still a little bit of gray area, right? Like, you're still waiting for, like, Dak to, like, take full-on command. Like, sure, when you look at a franchise quarterback, he does, like – check all the boxes in terms of like what he can do ability wise, what he looks like, how he talks to the media, how he handles himself, just how mature he, like all those things. Yes. There's a but. can he, one, be the guy? Can he, two, stay healthy for us? You know, you look at Aaron Rodgers, you look at Tom Brady, I mentioned Eli, even Russell, like those guys are always available. And when it's crunch time, you feel like, okay, with this person, like, we have a chance. Despite whatever situations the coordinator or the head coach may say in terms of, like, management-wise, like, you should be in that position enough to be like, look, like, this is going on. And I would say Russ might be in that bracket of, like, not vetoing a lot of things. But when it comes down to it, if things doesn't make sense, like, you as the franchise quarterback should be able to, like, veto what's going on. And I feel like when it comes to crunch time with Dak, people just – I'm just not sure, you know? It's almost like I'm still waiting for a little bit more. And I feel like that's what Dallas feels like. For Jerry Jones to say something like that is he's just not sure. You know what I mean? So
– I mean, all right, you could be not sure, right? But – like, for example, before you married your wife, you were dating her, right? I'm sure there was a period of time where you were not sure if you were going to marry her. And then there was a period of time.
I'm the wrong guy to ask that. I'm the wrong guy.
Oh, so you just jumped straight in and was like, you knew.
Or I proposed in 4 weeks.
Jesus Lord. All right. So I'll bring it back over here to me. Normal people. All right. I've dated.
I have dated where I was like, ah, oh, man, like. I don't really see – like, this. It's going well, but I don't really see a future. I don't.
All right. All right. You weren't sure about it. You know what I'm saying? And then I guess you met your wife, and then you were very, very sure, seeing as you –
Yeah, I was Belichick. I was Belichick when Bledsoe got hurt, and I was like, man, we got Tom Brady. We good.
All right. Okay. So there you go. But you knew that you weren't necessarily happy with it, but however – I imagine that all these, you know, the ex-girlfriends of Will Backman's past, that you weren't just leaving them for any old body. You weren't just leaving them for any old, the latest freak on the street, right? You had, like, I imagine you had to have be some cost-benefit analysis of, you know what, at the end of the day, she's not perfect, but she's good for right now, as opposed to this whole complete. I mean, Cooper Rush has been on how many? He's been waived by how many teams? Everybody in the league could have had him by now, and he's won 3 starts, 2 in a row, and they're trying to convince. Like, it just seems like the rest of the world's trying to convince themselves that Cooper Rush is somehow going to be a starting NFL quarterback.
So you're saying Jerry is like this? Maybe I'm not. Maybe I shouldn't let a good thing go. Like, this might be.
I'm saying, look. I'm saying, look. Maybe Dak don't cook. Maybe he snore a little bit. But ultimately,
All you got to do is bump that sleep number up so they're
probably. I'm saying, ultimately, these are some issues that you could probably figure out. And it's.
And by the way, Dak is a sleep number ambassador. So we can have the Parsons.
But you see what I'm saying, though? It seems just like you have real good for right now. Right. And then you want to go and do this whole Cooper Rush thing. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Are you calling Jerry Jones a hopeless romantic? Is that what you're calling him?
I'm calling Jerry Jones a hopeless romantic is probably the nicest way to put it. As if I extended along this analogy.
The pressure's on. The parents are like, when you going to find this woman? The parents are putting the pressure on. Jerry, when are you going to get this Super Bowl? Finally, you got a team. So I think he's, where are we going with this?
I just am trying to figure out. I really am trying to figure out what is it? Because we do this every year with quarterbacks. Last year, it was Mike White. Guy comes out and he starts two games and everybody's like, oh man, is he the future? Should this guy be worried? Should this situation be happening? Should the front office be moving on from incumbent starter X? And the answer is almost always unequivocally no. And I'm just trying to see if you disagree with me, honestly. I was ready to argue if you told me Cooper Rush was about to be that guy.
I'm not going to say he's that guy. Just right now, he's giving them consistency. You know, he's giving them wins. You know, so I'm not saying he's that guy, but right now they're playing well.
Another team that is playing well and a quarterback who everybody has ascribed to be that guy pretty much since he laced up cleats minus his last year. Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars, like, top the AFC South. I mean, you got the Colts, they beat the Chiefs, but they can't block anybody. The Titans lose Taylor Lewan. And the Texans just lost to the Bears. Are the Jags winning this division? Like, is it easy? Is it over now? Is it this point? Do you feel like it's over now? Because I feel like I could probably get some quality future on this.
I think it's a strong possibility that they can, because Trevor checks all the boxes in terms of what you want in a QB. He was in a really tough situation that I feel like any quarterback would have trouble overcoming when Urban Meyer was there. Like, that's just hard to play ball. But he still stayed poised. He never showed any kind of like him being rattled, right? Now he's in a situation where he has that caliber type of head coach that he truly needs. Like, my gosh, he's in the perfect position. Like, he has a Super Bowl winning quarterback coach who knows how to dial up plays and call games in terms of Doug Peterson. And overall, and defensively, they're playing outstanding. So overall, like, this team is doing really well because they have a guy who understands culture, who understands calling plays, who understands what it's like to win, who understands how to get the team ready to go when you lose your number one quarterback, who was playing at MVP level in Carson Wentz. Yeah. So I think right now Jacksonville is figuring it out. Like, they're – especially I feel like going through that as a team where you're like, yo, there is – no hope. We are the laughing stock of the league. And then you get someone like Coach Doug Peterson to come in and revamp the whole thing. Like, that team was desperate. This team was starving to latch onto something positive, and they have it in Coach Doug Peterson. So right now it does look bright in terms of that happening, but I will not write off the Colts just yet. Not because they ended up, you know, beating Kansas City, which was a huge win, but I just feel like once they figure it out, like, as a team, I still feel like they're built to win that division. It was, you know, documented that Matt Ryan challenged the team, even himself, to like, hey, like, let's get with it. You know, this is what we need to do. Matt Ryan's someone who has seen what it looks like, right, not only as an MVP, but also making a Super Bowl. So he challenged that team and they got it done. So Jags, it does look promising, but I will still be nervous about the Colts.
The thing that gets me about the Colts, their highest paid unit is their offensive line. And you watch the Colts play, Matt Ryan is running for his life, and he don't run very fast. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's like that is not for them to be the most successful form of the team, they got to block, run the ball, and then have Matt Ryan get them in the right play, right? Get Matt Ryan to get them in the right situation, second down, third down, to be able to convert and move the chains. Am I wrong?
Can I tell you something funny?
Please.
In high school, Matt Ryan in high school was a triple option quarterback.
Okay, that's hilarious.
I'm dead serious, bro.
Okay, I was wondering why you're looking at me laughing. I thought it was something I said. I was like, no,
it wasn't. You said running for his life. I know. I think it's just the whole chemistry of what's going on. I think they are trying to figure all that out, and I think they did a little bit last week. So that's why I will not for sure give Jacksonville the edge. Now this is going to be a huge game. Dougie Fresh is going back to Philly. That can be – that's a statement game right there. Go into Philly against your former team. You know, Eagles got the hot hand. You're going in there. Mixed emotions. This is our guy. He finally brought us our ring. Let's see.
I was about to say, there's two kind of mixed – back-to-back mixed emotions in Philly, right, with the Carson Wentz last week and now Doug Peterson this week. It's just everybody's
I don't think he was worried about Carson, bro. You know,
I don't think. I mean, I'm talking about the fans. At some point, there's a lot of people out there who probably were swearing by Carson Wentz, and now
They got a Nick Foles statue. Okay, I ain't trying Carson, man. They got a Nick Foles statue. I ain't trying to hit nothing. Yeah, thanks you. Thanks Carson for getting us halfway through the season. What up, Nick?
I will say, the idea that Nick Foles was ever going to be the answer. You know what it really is? Doug Peterson, to your point, really had it figured out, because when he went to that Super Bowl run, he's just like, wait, oh, wait, Nick Foles, you're elite at RPO? Nobody's really doing this right now? Cool. Let's do this. That'll work out. To your point of being able to find things that work for your quarterback that you got. But so the whole league right now is pretty much 1-2 or 2-1. You have the undefeated Miami Dolphins and the winless Las Vegas Raiders. Sitting here right now in week 3 going to week 4, which of these trends do you see continuing? Like the Dolphins being good or the Raiders being bad?
I would say the Dolphins continue to be better. I like, just because I'm big on culture. You're going to hear this a lot throughout all of our episodes. I'm big on culture. And I feel like right now with Miami, like the culture is solidified. Everyone bought in. Everyone is on board with what's going on there. Totally all in on the head coach. Totally all in with Tua being the dude and make it happen. So I see the Dolphins continuing to get better. The Raiders is just, I don't know what's going on over there, man. It's crazy. I put something out earlier about it has to be like super tough being a Commanders fan or a Raiders fan, because it's almost like, my analogy was, it's like the oldest son you have who has all this potential, all this ability to be super successful, but he keeps getting in his own way. He's still in the house. It's like, hey man, you're 29 years old, bro. 30. Like, you know what I'm saying? Unless you're at the crib. I mean, nowadays you can do that and you can podcast or have your own stuff and kill it. But nah, it's like,
I feel you. I was in the house till about 26. So it was a good stretch. But that's what I was doing. I was podcasting. I was working part time at a radio station trying to figure out this game.
But you were actively pursuing to where you are now. There's a little difference there versus the son who's not motivated, uninspired. But it's like, dude, you were a student. You had all these things. So I think watching those two teams is like, man, like they should be at least competing where they're not making crazy mistakes to lose the game. You know, so to answer your question, I see the Dolphins get a better Raiders. I'm just, especially in that division, I just don't know.
Yeah, I lean towards the Dolphins as well, because I'm not high on Josh McDaniels in general as like coach and play caller. I think a lot of his shine left with Tom Brady. Like when Tom Brady left, it seemed like New England couldn't do anything offensively, but Josh McDaniels, who was a genius whiz kid, was still there.
Well, and then he messed up when he drafted Tebow.
Bro, I'm telling you, that right there to me, honestly, was like enough to just throw his, I don't want to say throw his football acumen just out, but to dive in on Tebow and to stay stuck on Tebow for so long, it was like, bro, I don't see what you see that no one, you and Skip Bayless are the only people that see what's going on here.
He has two asterisks. The one where he drafted Tebow, and then when he pulled his card on the Colts and went back to New England.
That was bold. But that's what I'm saying, though. So if I'm the Raiders, though, I seen him draft Tim Tebow, so the football is questionable. Okay? I seen him do what he did to the Colts. So, like, to me, like, the handshake deal or whatever, he had hired assistants. So that's already questionable. Which, you know what, I guess third strike, you're out, I guess, if you're the Vegas Raiders. But I don't feel good about that pairing. I never have felt great about Derek Carr. I think he's a guy you can win okay with, but he's not, you know, he's Kirk Cousins in a, he's Kirk Cousins' cousin, essentially. You know, he can win with him.
I don't hate to say it, but I think he and Gruden worked. Derek Carr and John Gruden worked.
Yeah.
I think because they were completely polar opposites, but they both were super football smart. And I think Derek Carr is someone who needs to be challenged in that way. And I don't know if McDaniels is one of those quarterback whisperers, if you will, you know. Right. So,
well, I mean,
but and plus, I don't know. Again, drink anytime you hear this word. I don't know about the culture, if he can build one. I don't know how it is over there. You know, I feel like I need to check in with some people. But what he did do, you know, he brought a lot of people from New England in the front office over there. So I don't know. Maybe they're gonna try to build the roster over time. But
all right. Well, we've seen that have such numerous examples of success, like Houston and Detroit, of when you hire guys from New England and you bring them in and you try to revamp everything. I'm looking at you, Matt Patricia.
I mean, Bill O'Brien's the only one with a winning record. You can't say nothing to him. Can you? Yeah, you can.
I'm about to say, I think you can say a whole bunch to Bill O'Brien. You can say quite a bit to the Alabama offensive coordinator at this moment in time right now. Bill O'Brien's getting ready to face Kirby Smart's defense, not necessarily on Sunday. But before we get into week four's picks, let's take a quick break. Caesar, Cleo, the Mannings, Henrik Lundqvist, and now, yes, yours truly, the Lemon Pepper Parlay is a proud member of the Caesars Empire. And you know what it is that sets Caesars Sportsbook and Casino apart from the others? The perks. It's the only sports betting app with Caesars rewards. So every time you place a bet, win or lose, you get reward credits, which you can then use towards game tickets, bonuses, experience, and free stays at the iconic Caesars destinations and more. And your very first bet? It's on Caesars, up to $1,250. If you win, congratulations. If you don't, you get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app, use promo code CAESARFULL, and go full Caesar this season. That's CZRFULL. Oh, and Caesars Sportsbook and Casino plays by the rules. They comply with all the legalities of the sports betting world. So here comes the lengthy, unabridged, national responsible gaming disclaimer. Must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. Ontario, visit connectsontario.ca or call 1-866-531-2600 or text CONNECTS to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Will. The Dolphins are in Cincinnati to face the Bengals. The Bengals are 4-point favorites, which means, Will, the Bengals have to win the game by 4 or more points for you to win your bet if you bet on Cincinnati. So that's how that goes. Just want to make sure you had a good understanding of it before we got into the pick segment. Last week was a little so now, you know, that's how it goes. So you got to pick.
Hey,
yeah,
I learned something, though.
What's that?
So last year, I was working with my buddy Nick Dias, and he taught me the sandwich game. He said, beware, caution the sandwich game. And the sandwiches game is when a team, for example, the Dolphins, last week they played the Bills. Mm-hmm. Next week they played the Jets. Mm-hmm. But this week they have a non-division opponent in the Bengals. So where is their mind at? Because the easy road to the playoffs is you win a division.
Exactly. That's the easiest way to punch your ticket to the dance.
That is guaranteed. So even though I would say proceed with caution, he would always say proceed with caution with this one. Okay. Man, oh man.
So right here, I think that this, for the reasons that you just outlined, as well as some that I'm about to right now, this is the spot of the year so far. This is the situational spot of the year. I really, really like the Bengals here. I gave it out yesterday on extra points at -2.5, and you see it's already traveled up to 4. I'm still taking it at 4. The Dolphins, their last 2 wins have been absolutely gifted by the other team. Where the Ravens melted down.
That's a fair point.
They melted down defensively in the fourth quarter, allowing 28 fourth quarter points in like 8 minutes of game time, right? So it wasn't even like they started, like Tua and them started with 15 minutes, 0-0 in the fourth quarter. They scored 28 points in like 7 minutes on the clock. Then you have the Bills who, well, I don't think I've ever seen this. How you run 90 offensive plays in a game and only score.
Didn't Josh throw 60 passes?
Yeah, you do 60 pass attempts and only 60 pass attempts.
And that's why that last one was a dirt ball.
I mean, it was a lot of weird stuff happening with the Bills, but I'll just say this. Anytime your offense is on the field for 60 plays and your defense is only on the field for 20-some plays, you only can score with the ball, Will. So, I mean, how did the Dolphins win this game? I have no idea, but I know this. The Bengals had a terrible start to this season, but they also went against T.J. Watt, Micah Parsons, the two best pass rushers in the league. The Dolphins don't necessarily have anybody like that, although Melvin Ingram was making plays against Josh Allen. I like Joey B and the Bengals to cover here. I like to cover the 4.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like all the things we said about Miami for sure, and I think Cincinnati, they are in a – desperate situations as the defending representatives for the AFC. Like everyone is counting on them. Everyone has high expectations. Like, hey, year two, like, okay, we made moves in the offseason to protect Joey. Everyone has more experience. We didn't lose anyone in terms of the skill position. I think they're probably having a hard talk right now. Like, okay, like this is time. Everyone's loving Miami. Even though we're the favorites, they're still loving Miami. People on TV already saying they're the best team in the NFL, not just the AFC, mm-hmm. but the NFL. And what Cincinnati has showed is they can rise to the occasion. Like when it truly matters. So I like that. I like Cincinnati with the -4 here coming through.
Yeah, and then too, the Dolphins blitz a ton. Joe Burrow is one of the best quarterbacks against the blitz in his young career so far. I like him and Ja'Marr Chase getting on the same page here. And it's
short. Yeah, I think the wideouts are gonna go at it, and then we'll see the whole Eli Apple, Tyreek Hill thing. That'd be interesting.
What do you make of that? Because
I don't make anything of it. I make nothing of it.
Nothing at all.
I think right now what Tyreek Hill is, his was funny too, is like when he posted that video in the comments, people are like, oh yeah. Like, I love when fans start legit chiming in and talking smack like it's a real fight. Like, you all have right. to understand like where Tyreek is in his career right now. Like, he has all the accolades, Pro Bowl, All Pro. He's won a Super Bowl. He is set for life financially. So right sure. now, he's just on camera talking like a WWE superstar. Like, so if he's saying like, I owe you, Eli, I owe you, after they were talking smack last year, I owe you. It's like, okay, like, he's going to go play and compete. But it's I don't think it's like that serious in terms of like personal. But
nah,
I don't really make anything of it.
I didn't think that necessarily, like, Tyreek, like it was on site between Tyreek and Eli Apple. I wasn't trying to say that. But it's just interesting because when I watched him at his locker, and he's like, wait, who we play next week? Oh, the Bengals? And he's like, oh, Eli Apple, I'm coming for you. And it just was like, you didn't even know who you played next week until you asked.
You didn't even know you're playing next, so you didn't have it marked down. You didn't even know. That's my whole point. He doesn't know the schedule. He's not worried about who's lining up across from him. Tyreek is not worried about it, okay? First of all, he has seen every defensive back. He has seen every coverage. He knows, like, how they're going to play him. He knows his one job is, I need to just give it over the top and just crack that thing wide open, okay? He didn't even know who he's playing next. Oh, man. Oh,
wow. Okay.
And it's not like the game is on Sunday. It's on Thursday.
So that's kind of what
Mark, they just had a meeting. Hey, guys, it's a short week. We're playing the Bengals. Who we got?
It just seemed like a lot going on with him and those reflector cataract glasses.
That's my point, though. That's the sandwich game. Who we got? We got the Bengals. If it was the Jets or the Patriots or even the Bills, they would know that we got to get those. Mike, when I was in Washington, our coach used to always say, hey, we got to win 6 of them things. I think he said 6. Yeah, 6 of them things. Right?
It would have been 6. Yeah, that would have been the math at that point. If he had said we got to win 5, I would have been concerned.
That's it. So, anyhow.
So, speaking of the NFC East, the Eagles.
NFC Beast.
The Eagles, not right? The team that so many people are calling the best team in the NFL. Or the best team in the NFC, they are the Jaguars. They play host to the Jaguars. The Jaguars are 6.5-point underdogs, which means, Will, the Jaguars can lose by up to 6 points. If they lose by 7, you're in bad shape if you pick the Jaguars. But this is probably going to be one of the games of the week. It's probably smashed right in a 1 o'clock window, so that'll be great. But who do you like in this game?
Well, this is part of my lemon pepper with ranch.
Oh,
this is part of it. So I'm taking Jacksonville to cover.
Okay.
I think going in is going to be they are going to be extremely well prepared. Right. You look on paper, you're like, talent across the board. You're like, I love Philly. I love what they're doing. Philly's probably going to try to beat the brakes over Jacksonville. But Jacksonville they're going to be extremely prepared. And so if you're prepared, you're in the right spots, you don't give up any big plays, you're going to have a chance. So I think this game is going to be competitive. Jackson is going to find ways to put points on the board again. I mean, a 30 burger. They haven't. I can't remember last time they put up multiple 30 burgers in a season. So
the only time that it could have even been feasible was the AFC Championship run a few years back with Ramsey and Miles Jack, and that's in Blake Bortles. That's the only time it could have even been possible, right?
Right. Right, because they were stacked. I think offensively there.
The rest of
A-Rob.
Either then, it had to be from then or from when way back in the 90s when John Carney missed the extra point that would have put the Saints in the playoffs against the same Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm taking the Jags in this game.
Like overall? Money line or?
No, I'll take the spread, but I wouldn't be surprised if they went outright.
Don't be scared.
Hold on. First of all, there's no fear in my heart. I bet on the Lions with regularity on the money line. Okay. There's no fear in my heart. I laid money on Daniel Jones Monday night. I don't get scared. Okay. Anyway, but the Eagles, I think they're obviously running through their opponents. I think they'll win the NFC East. The thing that concerns me about them, they don't score a ton of second half points. It seems like most of their big outputs are happening in the first half, especially in the second quarter. So I like Jacksonville. They've been able to move the ball effectively in the last two games, understanding the Chargers were missing every Pro Bowler that they had on the roster just about. But
it was
defensively, I didn't see a top five DVOA defense in Jacksonville until it happened. But it's happened and it's here. That defense seems very, very real. And it gives me a little concern because the Eagles offense, I'm not necessarily sold on Jalen Hurts, the NFL MVP, quite yet. I think you can win in the league with him. But okay. I think that he's pretty limited as a quarterback and he's got a coach putting him in good spots.
Limited as in how?
I'd say maybe doesn't necessarily have I'd say, like, in terms of, like, if you look at a guy like Justin Herbert, and I'm looking, zoom back, brother. Zoom out. Okay.
you're mumbling and jumbling in there. You're mumbling right now.
Well, because. No, I think you can win with him, but I think that is in terms, if you looked at his quote unquote, like, football technical skills, right? In terms of his drop back and delivering the ball on the last step and throwing these, like, you look at Justin Herbert, he's a guy who seems to be able to, he plays quarterback
say Justin Herbert though.
Hold on a second. But the thing is, I think that Jalen Hurts brings a lot of other things to the table in the very much the same way that Lamar Jackson necessarily isn't your prototypical NFL quarterback, but brings so much other to the table that if you have a problem with the way that he's playing quarterback, it's probably a you issue and not a Lamar issue. That's my take. That's my Jalen Hurts point. But I wonder with that, that they are going to be able, because I said they scored a bunch of points in the first half. I wonder if they'd be able to mount a three-score comeback late in the game in the second half, in the fourth quarter. That's like in the way that Miami was able to against Baltimore.
I would say you got certain styles, right? You have the Herbert, you have the like Herbert, Mahomes, and Allen, right? That's one category. That is, we have a rocket launcher on our arm, and we don't have to have our feet set. Wherever we are getting the ball there. That's one type. Then you have like the Brady, Matt Ryan type, you know, where it's like, we're going to be here in the pocket. Don't move us off the platform. Like, we're going to be here. Boom, boom.
Sure.
I mean, then you have, I would say Aaron Rodgers, he's kind of a little bit of both. Right.
He moves around a little bit more than you'd expect, right?
He moves around a little more than you expect, you know, kind of like I think Trevor Lawrence is like that, can't throw it like Aaron. And I feel like and then you have the Jalen Hurts, you have Lamar, which also can be almost like Josh Allen-ish too. So, I mean, I don't know. I think after the first week, right, it wasn't great because Detroit should have won that game. But then afterwards, I mean, against Minnesota, he was 83% throwing 31 passes. Last week, he was 62% throwing 35 passes, no picks, rating over 100 both weeks. So I think he's getting into a groove. right now. And so, and he's playing that well to actually be mentioned. 330 plus in both games.
No, I'm not, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that he shouldn't be in the.
You call him average
at this moment in time. No, I just don't think he's going to continue this. I don't think he's going to be able to sustain, for example, like you said, throwing 83% completion percent. I don't think that's sustainable. But I like the, and the Jaguars have been really cooking, and it's just one of those. I don't know. Really, you have two darlings right now. I love to kind of try to bet against the team that everybody loves. Like, everybody loves the Dolphins this week. I like to try to bet against them. But this Jaguars and Eagles game, everybody loves both of these teams. So, you know, I'll take the 6.5 points.
I think everybody loves Philly. Everybody loves Philly. Everybody loves Miami. So, everyone's going to pick those two teams. I like 6.5, too.
The Vikings play the Saints in London. And when I picked this game initially, I thought you were already over there. I don't know. I'm sharing your travel plans again. Sorry. But this is two teams to me that have gotten off to not great starts. Really kind of I expected better for both of these teams by this point in the season. And I don't know how much better it's going to get for the Saints. I think the Vikings still have a little bit of room left. But where are you at with this one?
I will put them right along that elder son category, the Raiders and Commanders. Like the Saints, like Minnesota. Every year, Minnesota goes into the year as the dark horse, as like, okay, we can, this is it. We have everything we need. We have the QB that can get it done in terms of like statistically wise. We have the receivers. We have the running back. We have running backs because Madison is very capable. We have the secondary. They have everything that they. Now we got the coach. We got a McVay descendant. You know, we have all those things ready to rock this year. And it's just been super. It's been extremely weird. The cool thing though, these games in London are fun because they're always sold out. It's literally I had the privilege of playing there twice. It is like the Super Bowl. They're playing at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, which is probably the best stadium I have ever seen.
Really?
It is absolutely. Yeah. Oh, it's unreal. Like they, speaking of football, soccer, they have the soccer pitch on top for obviously soccer there for Tottenham Hotspurs. And then they roll it out and they roll in an actual football field. For NFL, there's a whole NFL side to the stadium. It's going to be absolutely outstanding. The Saints are wearing the black helmets this week.
Okay.
That's what I heard. So, but Andy might be starting. Andy Dalton is what he's taking first team reps right now. That's the word on the street. What's going on out there. So, oh man, it's going to be very interesting, but I'm still taking New Orleans. I think the Saints have a good secondary that's going to help take away what Jefferson's going to do. He might get hit in the chest by somebody. But yeah, I like the Saints on the money line, went straight up.
Excuse me. And the Saints are 3-point dogs in this game. So you have, it'll be a nice juicy money line. And so for me, I didn't like the Saints last week against the Panthers. I figured it was a bad spot for them. And I don't like them this week either. I don't. I'm concerned. You telling me that the Andy Dalton is taking first team reps? That's not great. And the offense already wasn't moving, looking too good until that late in the game against the Panthers. Been a defense, LaVisca Chenault 60 some yards on a smoke route. It's just like this. I don't hate to say it. But it seems as if, to me, this Saints team is kind of poorly coached. It seems like they're not getting the things together that from week to week that they would have gotten. And it's like, maybe, just maybe, in my preseason, you know, breakdown of this, of the Saints, and I said I think they can win the division, but the only major concerns are the two spots you have to be concerned about. That's quarterback and head coach. I don't know if they got a head coach, man. As much as I would like Dennis Allen.
They're missing Sean.
As much as it would be great for Dennis Allen not to be the worst coach in NFL history, because that's kind of what his winning percentage or has him at currently, going 1-2 and then 1-3 to start the year is not going to help. And that's probably what's going to happen. I think the Vikings win. The Vikings cover. And I'll tell you this. How about this, Will? Remember this when you go over there. London favorites, 18-3-1 straight up, and 15-7 against the spread.
Go Saints. All right. So,
all right. The last game I want to talk about before we get into our parlays, the Buffalo Bills. We got into them a little bit earlier at the Baltimore Ravens. You want to talk about a guy who's having an MVP type, at least first three games, Lamar Jackson, 10 touchdowns to two picks, back-to-back 100-yard rushing games. He's doing it all. Josh Allen threw the ball 61 times just a couple days ago. The Ravens are getting 3.5 at home. What do you think happens here?
I think this is going to be an outstanding game. I in this game, honestly, I want to bet the over, man. Like I think what is it, 51.5? Like, yeah. I think it's just going to be just fireworks this entire game. You have two quarterbacks who are capable of both. Obviously, Lamar is a way better runner. He's probably the best ball carrier in the entire NFL. I would argue that. But that is huge with Buffalo missing their safeties. That has been – I wasn't sure how that was going to go, but it was evident that they were missing them. But, however, Buffalo does have great coaching.
Yeah.
Where I feel like the second time around, now these safeties are comfortable trying to fill the void. They did sign Xavier Rhodes, but they signed him to practice squad. We'll see if he gets ready in time to play this weekend because they definitely need a veteran Pro Bowl caliber type cornerback out there, defensive back in general. Who knows? He might end up moving to the safety. That's a big dude. But yeah, Baltimore right now is hot. I feel like Lamar Jackson and Aaron Judge been hanging out in the bet on yourself category right now, because them boys are going to get paid in the offseason, no doubt about it. But yeah, I don't want to do it. I'm not taking Buffalo. I'm taking Buffalo.
Taking Buffalo? Oh, I'm taking the Rams.
No, wait. No. I'm taking the Ravens plus 3. Because no one is going to cover Mark Andrews. No one did last week, and no one is this week either.
All right. I'm with the Ravens as well. No Hyde, no Poyer. I think that makes a huge difference in the Buffalo defensive backfield.
Yeah, this has to be easy money.
They played so many snaps defensively against Miami in that heat. They got to be wiped out. And then offensively, they played so many snaps. And then defensively, again, all the injuries, they've lost a couple of defensive linemen, and that was one of their big things that they were really great at in Buffalo, was being able to rotate their D linemen and get pressure without having a blitz. I'm concerned about that being something they're able to do against Baltimore with all the injuries that they have in the defensive backfield. So I'm going with the Ravens and taking the 3. And I am just going to be hoping against hope and praying against prayer that the Buffalo offense looks as out of sync as it did in the fourth quarter against Miami, because these Ravens defensive backs couldn't. I mean, they are. You just see the way that Mac Jones was wheeling and dealing on them. They just couldn't get in the end zone enough to keep up with Lamar on the other side.
Right. Yep. So I feel you on all those things. That's hard. This is a hard one.
You know, Will,
if I want to win some money, I'm gonna take Baltimore.
Well, I generally pick to try to win some money. That's my goal here. And with that's right, that as you goal
mentioned,
in yeah, mind,
you mentioned you're not scared. Yeah, you mentioned that.
Oh yeah, I'm fearless. I'm fearless with this. Now, plenty of other things. Now you know, I've become a scaredy cat. I was about to cuss. I forgot this is a PG program. You know, I can shake my boots when it comes time to it, but when it comes time to this gambling, well, especially when it comes to stuff I know, I feel confident.
This is what you do. About it. This is what you do.
Exactly. Before we pick our lemon pepper parlays, Will, let's take a quick break. And with that in mind, my lemon pepper parlay for week four, I'm taking the Atlanta Falcons with the points against the Browns. I see Browns minus one some places. The Falcons with the points. The Falcons are a much better team than people are going to give them credit for. Offensively, they're going to move the ball. Drake London is going to be right there for the rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year conversation. Kyle Pitts, who, you know, was a big disappointment last year, he's come on. And Mariota has played well through three games for the Falcons, and they really should have beat New Orleans in week one. And my second leg of my lemon pepper parlay, I'm going all birds here, Will. It's the Arizona Cardinals. But here's the thing. It is a straight fade of the Carolina Panthers. Matt Rhule as a favorite in the NFL is 3-10 against the spread. He has failed to cover the last seven times in a row, and he's lost every single one of them. I mean, that's insanity. Baker Mayfield, his quarterback, he's 11-22-1 against the spread. That's 33%, just a little bit better than Matt Rhule's 23% against the spread. He's failed to cover in seven straight and lost five of them outright. And they've only had three of those games together, Will Blackman. The Panthers lose. I don't understand how they're getting points, but I'm going to take the Cardinals into points and the Falcons into points for my lemon pepper parlay.
Cardinals and Falcons.
You got it.
You're just going two?
Just two teams.
I'm scared. All right, so.
Wow.
Here's mine.
This guy.
Here's my lemon pepper parlay.
Let's see if you get it right this time.
I know, right? I ain't scared. That's why I keep going. So, I teased it earlier, Jacksonville going to Philly. I like that. I gave you all my reasons why. The other one I'm going to go with, yes, Jacksonville plus six. I like the Bears to cover versus New York. I think that's going to be a hideous game.
Oh, it's going to be.
I feel if this game was in Chicago, there'd be a big patch of dead grass. Because I don't think it's going to move much in this situation.
In between either 40-yard line, it's just like, dang.
It's just dirty, just brown grass and dirt everywhere. But this game is in New York. I like the Bears to cover here. However, what makes me nervous is I think the Giants are wearing the old school throwback 1990s uniforms. And that is kind of like Superman putting on his cape for Saquon. Like Saquon might have a 200-yard game. If that's the case, then I'm just going to get rocked. But
you know, I like the Bears to cover here. Old school earring, so the old school jerseys.
The LT, I got the LT hoop in there too. You know, and then I like, which is interesting. I feel like finally Denver got the win that they needed. You saw the celebration. I like them going to Vegas and Russell rolling the dice. This might be the game. Like Russell's like, this is what I came here for. I feel like this is the game. Denver with the plus three, they're going to cover in this. So Jacksonville plus six, Bears plus three, Denver plus three. There is
not going to lie. I hate that last pick that you just made, but good luck, pal. I could not in good conscience feel good about betting on the Denver Broncos, especially since the win that they did get was because the quarterback stepped out of the back of the end zone, which saved a pick six. If he had been in the end zone, they would have won by more. Like that, I don't want to get started on it. I have one more question for you. I just saw this come across the thing. The Pro Bowl is being switched to now Pro Bowl games, different skills challenges. One of them would be dodgeball. Will Blackman, would you win the Pro Bowl dodgeball competition? How would you finish in that?
No question. I never lost a dodgeball competition in my entire life. So,
but how many dodgeball competitions where you win with other professional football players?
I think I would do extremely well. I think my team would finish first.
I'd hope your team would finish. You wouldn't quit along the way.
Yeah. I don't mess around when it comes to dodgeball. You know,
all right. Will Blackman doesn't mess around when it comes to dodgeball.
Look, I've gone into a bounce house where it was like maybe 40 kids, and even adults jumped in because they're like, man, why is that guy in there? And I just took out everyone. I'm very stealth ninja with it.
It sounded like you just said you went and abused the neighborhood kids. It's like just went there and just I mean, I can see it now. Every movie has it. Just
because what happens is when you go
with all these big muscles holding the ball, kids cowering in the corner.
Because here's what happens. Here's what happens. You go to these trampoline parks and like you let your kids go in there and all of a sudden you get a bunch of like high school kids that want to go in there and stop pegging kids. Right. And it's like, all right, you know what? Let me put my shoes in the locker. Let me put my socks on. Let me get in here. Let me just monitor. And then as soon as I see them like tagging off on kids, I'm like, all right, give me a ball, guys. Bow.
Well,
okay. And then their parent be like, hey, my son's in high school. I'm going to get in there. Bring your butt in here, dad, and get pinged too. Pop. Boom. Pop. Get out. Catch the ball. Get out. Now let's roll.
So we learned something today. Will Blackman is in fact a bully. Is in fact a bully. I got
no it. Way. I am the good one. I am the bully bodyguard. I go against him. Okay.
All right. Yeah, we'll see about that. But
it's like you teenage kids. You see this bunch of second grade, third grade kids. Why are you in there showing off?
So you've got to. I feel it's up to you to go teach those kids a lesson, huh?
It's up to me. Yep. Well, dodgeball is the only time where you can do that. Pick on someone your own size.
I mean, I'm saying, yeah, pick on somebody your own size, and that could probably also quantify for me because I don't have the muscles that you nearly have. Pick on somebody.
You don't need muscle. You don't need muscles to throw a ball.
Well, I guess that's true. Tom Brady's kind of making a whole second act of that whole deal, right?
I'm saying, like, yeah, Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, Aaron, look at the best quarterbacks. None of them have biceps. None of the best quarterbacks have biceps.
You had a good point.
Tebow had the biggest biceps, and that thing was a javelin.
That's how that worked out. It's remarkable that he has so many chances to play a professional sport. Like,
listen,
so
man, when you are good, the energy is good to you, man. So I do
so
not
what is it when
man,
you're like ever. Exceedingly average? How does that work?
No, I meant good to like the universe.
Ah. I get it. Well, yeah, I will put out good vibes to the universe today because I'm currently first place in the extra points pick'em contest, and I'd like to remain that way. So,
is there a reward for this?
It's pride, Will. It's pride.
Oh, see, that's why it don't matter. You guys got it.
Wow. Oh, it don't matter. Wow. Good to know. No. I thought you guys were all competitors.
No, I'm not. I'm not when I'm not getting like paid for it. So.
You know, I mean, at some point, somehow down the line, you are getting paid to make the picks, but I get it. But it's okay.
We are contracted, yes, but in terms of the picks, you know, it's like, you know, I can't win everything. You know, I got to let other people do their thing. So,
oh, is that what that? That's. Thank you for allowing yourself to be so humble to allow me to lead this thing through 3 weeks.
You know, that's how it is with these picks in fantasy football. It's like, you know, I beat. Oh, that's okay. You know, it's fantasy football. You know?
Well, with that being said, I don't know if you should follow Will Blackman's picks because he seems to not give a damn. But mine are going to make you some money week 4.